Hey, friends, welcome to episode 50 of the Soul CEO podcast. My name is Rachel Bacark, and we are continuing on a conversation about expectations and how expectations affect us, especially within leadership. If you listened to episode 49, you heard part one. We talked about what people expect out of you, and really more importantly, kind of what we expect out of ourselves, and how that can really dictate how the size of the organization that we build. And in this episode, part two, we're going to dive into the expectations we place on others and how to do it, the importance of clear and communicated expectations. I share some very personal stories of my flub-ups of when I did this wrong or not at all and how much heartache and frustration it cost me. You're going to hear a little bit of a different tone than you're used to in this podcast. A bit more calm, intense. It was a serious topic, and there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. And so I hope you enjoy this kind of inside look into kind of a sneak peek group mentoring that I do to the people that are closest to me. And I share very personal things, guys, in this podcast. Can't believe I'm posting it, but talking about what I even expect of them, and me actually verbalizing what my expectations are of these top 70 to 100 or so leaders. So I hope you guys enjoy it. I think this is going to be transformational to your leadership. So grab a pen, grab a piece of paper, and let's dive into episode 50, Expectations Part 2. Let's talk about expectations. You guys got your pen and piece of paper? The best leaders are excellent students. So we talked back 3 weeks ago, we talked about that the expectations of yourself are your standards and your business, and having the expectation as a leader and the weight of a leader. We started talking about what are the expectations that you have personally? Like, what do you put on yourself? And then what do others have of you? We talked about the fact that others do have this unsaid, unspoken question constantly. What do they ask? Do you love me? Can you help me? And can I trust you? We talked about the fact that the expectation, my expectation of you and the expectation of all of us in leadership is to do three things: love, lead, and lift. We got to love our people, right? Everyone matters. Everything matters. It is the number one expectation I have of you. This whole conversation is about expectation. The number one expectation I have of you is that you love our team. I want you to love the unlovable. I want you to love the ones that ask the same questions over and over. The ones that are difficult, the ones that have gnarly and jagged and rough edges around them. I want you to love the ones that are struggling to love themselves. That is our call. And I expect you to do this because I expect me to do it. I am living under somebody else's example. And so therefore, we have to live under his example as well. We need to love our people. Second is leading. And I just shared that a few minutes ago. If our people didn't need us and they just flourish without us, like we'd be non-existent. We'd be irrelevant. They need us to lead. They're little babies. They're just little babies. And they need us desperately to lead them. The third thing is to lift them. And that is lifting them to higher places. I want to talk about setting expectations with your team. I want you to write these two words down, that the expectations you set must be clear and they must be communicated. I have made it clear for 5.5 years. My expectation is that everyone matters. My expectation is that we love. I've not always been super clear about what I expect for you guys in performance. I've not been super clear on expectations of your activity. That's not the way that I've led. I've not led on a strong fist, on a, push and drive and aggressiveness. And some of you guys would really flourish under that. You're not going to get it from me. I'm going to be strong, but I'm not here to push. I'm here to lift. It's a completely different action. And so I want you guys to know that my expectation of you is clear, is that I expect you to love. I expect you to have grace. I expect you to respect people. I expect you to adopt the team heart mentality and manifesto. It has to be clear. If there's any fuzziness of working with you, if your team has any fuzziness or, you know, lack of clarity of what it is that you want from them, they're going to do nothing. Or they're going to go so off base. You're going to be like, why are you doing that to build your business? Where did you come up with that? They're like, well, you didn't really make it clear for me what I should do. But it's also got to be communicated. Write this down. The longer you delay expectations, setting them, the harder it is for you to give them. So the longer you delay expectations, setting the right expectations with your new mentees, the new people that you're raising up, the harder it is to put them in place. Here's a case in point. In my previous company, I had two leaders. Different lines, different countries, different personalities. They couldn't be any more different. There was one thing similar about both of them. I built their businesses. Spillover, time, energy, going to their markets, running the play. These two leaders. Both of them have got to a very sizable income. In that process, these leaders went from friend to business partner to dependent entitled rank in my organization. I would even question if I would call them leader. They were a rank. And I'd built them up. Their income way surpassed their personal development. And ultimately, they had coasted on the work and effort and money that I had driven into their organization. Now, because of where that business was, I was caught in a rock and a hard place because I had to go over to this leg and that leg and go build. I needed to unhook my wagon wheel. But here I was, 3 years into the business, and all I had done was I had spun the plates for them. I was giving them a piggyback ride. I was giving them a ride the whole time. And I needed to get them off of me so I could go build another leg. Only so many hours in a day. I also, at this time, was so frustrated because they were not taking any action unless I prodded them. They weren't taking any ownership of their business. They weren't in phase one. And now I, as a leader, as an immature pipsqueak leader, was getting bitter. These good for nothing, entitled leaders. I did so much for them. Why aren't they stepping up? Why aren't they more grateful? And what happened was I began to move to the other organizations to build. And the two leaders, separate, unbeknownst to each other, both turned on me and got mad. And they got mad. I went from angel, right? I made them hundreds of thousands of dollars to devil incarnate. Why? I was flabbergasted. I was like, wait a second. I made you over $250,000. I built this massive business underneath you. I've been working my butt off just in your leg for years. I've got to go over, it's time for you to step up. And I have these conversations with them and I try to mentor them. Have you ever guys tried to mentor somebody and they're like, you're telling me what to do? And just like this total, like the with the little emoji with the cross arms like that. Ha, mole. You're my friend. Like it just was, they're like, I'm not having the coaching here. And I didn't understand why I was getting hostility and frustration. And they were so entitled. Like it was just, all the ickiness, the negativity now where it was so good for so long. So I sat down with John Maxwell and we had breakfast. John eats granola with yogurt, by the way. That's what he has. Every time I've had breakfast with him, it's always a parfait kind of thing. And then I had my eggs and I sat down with him and I said, I'm in a pickle. I'm in a pickle. These leaders are mad at me. They're not stepping up. I'm trying to coach them. I'm trying to tell them it's time to lead. It's time to work. It's time to get back to work. It's time to get off of your laurels. You need to get into production mode if you want to keep your check. Like I'm advising them. They're not taking it. He goes, Rachel, you want to keep talking? I have the answer. He's like, you want to talk for another 30 seconds about it? I already know what you did. Like, tell me. He's like, how long has this been going on? I'm like, 3 years. He goes, the longer you delay expectations, the harder it is for you to set them. He goes, you never set expectations that you were their coach. You never set expectations that you were their mentor. You never set expectations that you were going to tell them the hard thing. All they thought was that you were the ride. And they were on for a ride. And all of a sudden, guess what? The ride stopped. And they were pissed. Because it was so good. And they're like, like looking for a little quarter to put in the thing in front of Target, like to little horse. Like, the ride stopped. And they were pissed. From that day forward, I made a declaration that in any coaching or intensive build mode that I do with somebody, that we set expectation even in, and most importantly, in personally enrolling. The first call, when I get somebody started, I am setting the expectation of the business. In fact, it's often set before they sign up. I want to challenge you guys, write this down. What if you set your expectations before they enroll? What if you have a conversation with them before they sign up? Hey, we're about to get started in business together. Obviously, we're going to be working. It's your business, but I'm here to help you. What expectations do you have of me? What if you ask them? Oh, Alyssa, like, maybe if I have a question, if you could get back to me, great. What's your expectation on how fast? What's your expectation of how many days? Let me tell you. Okay, great. Awesome. I want to share with you my schedule. I want to share with you how I do business. I want to share with you how to book calls with me. I want to share with you what my response time is. I want to share with you my priorities. So when I sit down with somebody now, I have the conversation to say, listen, I'm super excited to work with you, Philippa. We're going to do great things together. This is going to be an amazing run. I believe in you. I want to tell you how I run my business. I work my business 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. I do often check my messages on the weekends, but I don't typically work a lot of weekends because that's my time with my family and I travel and the time with the Lord. And you know how that is important to me. But the good news is you're going to have access, one of only 100 people on my team that has access to my calendar, and you're going to be able to book a call with me at any time. 15-minute mentoring call, you want to go for 45 minutes, something longer, we got strategy, 3-way calls with your prospects, you're going to have direct access. That's going to be it. My goal, Philippa, this is the key phrase. My goal, Philippa, is you've told me here in this call that you want to make $1,000 a month, and then we're going to do this within 90 days. Here's my goal, is that over the next 90 days, I'm going to give you everything I got. We're probably going to talk daily, maybe just over text, but at least probably touch base. We're going to be on a call probably at least once a week. And we're going to be driving this business forward. I'm going to give you everything that I have so that by the end of 90 days, you know this business. And by the end of 90 days, now you can run your own team. And you're running your own little calls. You know where all the resources are. You know the system. And Philippa, wouldn't you agree that that would be a good thing? And they all say, yes. So here's a script. Hey, Brian, super excited to run with you over the next 90 days. I know you just said here in my coaching that you want to get to $2,500 a month. We're going to get you to that Pro 5 rank. We're going to run really, really hard. I'm going to give you this 3-day press play system that works with our ITT plan. And over the next 90 days, you and me working together, I'm going to give you everything. We're going to be locked arms, hand in hand, talking every single day. You know, I'm going to be here for you. You're going to build the business, but I'm going to be a support for you. And my goal is at the end of 90 days that you are working independent of me. You run your own little team. You have your own little calls. You know the system. You're getting going. Like, you feel self-sufficient. That's my goal. Would you agree that that's a good thing? Yeah. And I say, and then from there, we get to move to the fun part, and it's high-level mentoring. And if you allow me, Brian, because of my skill, because of my experience, I will be the rudder to your ship, and I will help you get to that 6 figures in the next few years, part-time. I will show you your blind spots. I know how to do this, and I will help you. I'll be here for mentoring for you. We're not going to stop after 90 days. We're just going to work really intensely for 90 days because I want you to get this. I want you to grab it from me so that you have your own little team. And then from there, we'll transition and I'm going to be here to help you. You're going to be the captain of the ship, but I'm going to help you. Sound good? So now they know that their mommy, daddy, toddler time is a couple months. Their really needy time is a few months. They know my schedule. They know how to book with me. The goal is, hey, listen, I'm going to try to give you as much as I can so that at the end of 90 days, you are independent of me. Not that you're not going to get a hold of me. Not that we're not going to talk all the time, but you got it. So that's the expectation. These are the three things you want to set in that call. Number one is the relationship. You might be friends, but there are times, you guys, you have to set the expectation you're also a coach. Do I have permission, Brett, to tell you what you need to hear to get you to that $3,000 a month? Do I have that permission? You're setting the expectation, the relationship of a mentor-mentee. Number two is the boundaries. This is when you're working. Right? So Alyssa's running a 6-figure nutritional business. She might say, hey, listen, hey, I'm super excited to work with you. I think I sponsored 16 people in the last month. I also have this insane enterprise with Biohacking Bombshell. To make it very simple for you, Sally, I have 3 coaching calls a week. They're for 20 minutes at these 3 times. You can log into all 3 or none. It's totally up to you. And if you want, these are my other different services that you can book in these specific timeframes. We're going to get you to this goal. I put these systems in place so that you can reach me several times a week and I can answer all your questions so you'll never, and oh, by the way, here's Patty, here's Rachel, here's some other support. You're setting the boundaries. There is a way to find some balance as long as you have boundaries. I get hit up 24 hours a day because I have 3 continents. No longer do I feel when I get that ping. I saw at 8 a.m. this morning, I had a message, a request for a 3-way call. I didn't respond to her till noon. Why? It's not my hours. She knows. Like, mornings I'm out. I'm a Jesus. You're not getting to me. But she knows. So that expectation's been set. And then the third is really setting the expectation of the vision. That's the, hey, in 90 days, hey, this is where we're going. Hey, this is how we're going to get you there. Here's what it's going to look like. Here's how the business is going to unfold. This is my expectation of you, is how you're going to grow inside of this team and under my tutelage. So number one is clear and communicated expectation. And the second aspect, I just want to end with this, we'll open it up for Q&A, is in our first conversation with expectations, I used the John Maxwell phrase, has your expector expired? And I shared the story of the little boy fishing in the lake that had a 10-inch frying pan at home. You guys remember that story? He threw away all the big fish and kept the little fish because he had a 10-inch frying pan. He had a 10-inch mindset, a 10-inch abundance mentality. The second aspect of expectations and others is, do you believe in your people? Do you believe in your people? There's only a few things that I see as a consistent, predictable trait that throws teams into leadership jails. One of them is skepticism, and another one is bitterness. I see leaders get so bitter because they've gone through so much dirt that they have forgotten that they're not a dirt miner, that they're a gold miner. But because they have to go through thousands and thousands of pounds of dirt, right? We talked about Andrew Carnegie. He had 43 millionaires working for him. And he was interviewed. How'd you get 43 millionaires to work for you? He goes, ugh, they weren't millionaires when I hired them. And a millionaire back then is 20 million today. He had 43 people making $20 million. He's like, how? He goes, I developed those people like a gold miner mines for gold. You might think when you look at my business, I don't know, 6 enrolled elites, personally enrolled. You might think, oh, Rachel, you just go out there and look for gold. No, I'm not whale hunting. I develop them. It's easy to be whale hunting and looking for leaders, but that's a lottery, guys. The truth is that you have to develop them. You need to refine them. You need to take off all of the dirt. Nobody goes into a mine and they're like, gold! No, it's just dirt. It's dirt. You got to look for it. Do you believe in them? Whatever number you assign to their forehead, right? We always say that we have a number when we look at people. That's how you're going to treat them. That's how you're going to train them. That's how you're going to pour into them. That's how you're going to love on them. That's going to be the conversation in your head while you're discussing with them. Yeah, but Rachel, you're seeing all the people on my team are twos. They're ones. There's some negative fours in there. Let me ask you this. Can you remember at least one time in your life when somebody saw more in you than you saw in yourself? Raise your hand. I'll ask it another way. If you can't think of one time, raise your hand. If you struggle, nobody? At the very least, you know that I see more in you than you see in yourself. You might be 45, 55 years old, and not one person in your life, not your parents, not your spouse, not a coach, not a teacher, not a boss, has ever believed in you. But I'm telling you, I see you. I see you, and I see the potential you have, and I believe in you. I know that with minor tweaks, with small breakthroughs, with the compounding effect of consistency, that you're going to build something that you're going to look back on and you're like, oh. And I know this because I was a two. I was a one. I had moments I was a negative four. But because people believed in me and saw in me and spoke life into me, do you think a Pro 10 was just born? Or do you think that I'm sitting here because I had hundreds of people in my life that said, you're going to do something. You're going to go somewhere. You're going to be somebody. You are somebody. Love, lead, and lift.
That's our job. And if you've gotten to the point where you don't believe in your people, you need a checkup from the neck up. You need to sow what you have reaped. You have reaped the belief from us into you, the belief of teachers and coaches and bosses and mentors. You know, so crazy. I read a status update and I got a text message, two different friends, two different countries, funny enough. Both of them just shared that friends of theirs committed suicide in the last couple days. Off topic, yeah, a little off topic. I wonder how many people that, God rest their soul, believed in them. We're doing God's work here. We really are. It's just wrapped around a product. It's just wrapped around a comp plan. So I want you to believe in your people. I want you to love on them. I want you to see and find and search and scavenge for anything that's possibly good in them and just pour it. Just douse them in it. Never give up on them. I've seen the greatest turnarounds in this business. Some of them are on this call.